3 months. And we definitely have to get together more often.
Okay.
Yes,
I do. There hadn't been any new postings since February on the Bible studies. We need to get somebody that know that Kevin teach somebody how to do it.
I asked him.
Huh?
I asked him to teach me how to do it.
What did he say?
That was in February, or sorry, December. He said, "Yeah, that's a good idea."
There's a lot of people that, you know, are kind of dependent on those things. And we need to make that a much higher priority. Is he the only one that knows how to do it now?
Ken knows how to do it.
Who?
Ken, no. How dare you.
All right. I want to talk a little bit more about this end of days stuff that we started yesterday. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4.
Can you see yet?
Huh?
Can you read?
No.
Where it's glush?
It's not just that. It's
vision.
Yeah, it's they did something and it pulled one eye above the other, and I've got to wait. I talked to the doctor about it and he said we can't do anything until I get this thing off. So 1 Thessalonians 4, start about, somebody read, start about verse 13 or something like that.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them.
No, let's wait a minute. You have to read that one with emphasis. You have to read louder.
I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
This is another scripture that kind of belies the premillennialist theory about you're going to get raptured and you're going to stay up there for a while and then come back. Because thus shall you be with the Lord forever. That, you know, you're not going to go up and down, is my point. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15.
What is this rapture stuff?
It's something that was invented in the 1830s by a man named Darby. And it's everybody thought he was an idiot and a heretic, but now it's become the majority view in Christianity.
Cool.
In American. The rapture is that before this so-called Great Tribulation happens, the saints will be rise up. If the pilot's in an airplane, the pilot will rise up. The car, if you're in a car driving, you'll rise up. And then you'll rise up in the air, and you'll sort of hang around with Jesus somewhere. And then when the Antichrist gets destroyed, then you're all going to come back down, and Jesus is going to set up his capital of the universe in Jerusalem. Can you see maybe why I call it comic book theology?
It sounds like a ride.
Or the yo-yo theory. We're going up and down. And all right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Yeah, let me see if I can read enough to know where to start. Start in verse 35. See, that's why I'm not good here, because that 35 looked like 45. And I can't look at Joysanna, because when I do that, then it things really gets... Then I see three of her or something. That's really scary.
I need to sit over there.
What?
I said I need to sit over there.
What's the matter with your eye?
It won't open because it's too dry. Because I'm a little tired. What verse?
35. You going to read?
I'll read.
You have to read loudly so that people can hear it.
All right. But some man will say...
That's not loud.
But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Though fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. Boy, my eyesight's not very good either.
Pete, will you read?
That's not loud enough?
No, it's that your eyesight isn't.
Pete, read on.
That which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance be wheat or some other grain. But God giveth a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body.
Okay, now you understand the importance of that. Well, if I sow a seed in the earth, the thing that is sown, I mean, the thing that raises... doesn't look like the seed. It looks like the thing that produced the seed, but it doesn't look like the seed. And so this whole idea, I had a near-death experience, and I saw this bright light, white, and then Jesus was there, and all my little relatives and all my puppy dogs were with him. No. You can't. There's a new creation. That which is raised from the dead isn't us. It's this mystery of the bride of Christ. Okay? And all these little funeral things. Oh, he's gone to be with...
his maker.
No, his wife or his girlfriend or his... I mean, you're not... I mean, that's a nice kind of comforting thing, but I tell you what, let's do. Keep your place there, and let's go to Isaiah 29 a minute, I think. How come I get off the subject all the time?
This subject.
What? What?
This subject. What?
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 Well, I'm finding it.
You said the number already.
I said it, but I'm not sure it's the right. Yeah, 29 verse... starting verse 7. Well, I can read this. Watch. Think I can read it? I'll make it up if I can't see it.
We all know. We knew that was coming.
And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel. Ariel is another word for Jerusalem. Even that fall, all that fight against her and her munition and that distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awakeneth, and his soul is empty. Or as when a man thirsty dreameth, or when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall a multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry you out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and the fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Now the one I wanted to get to, is that it's as if a hungry man dreameth, and he dreams, he's hungry, and he dreams that he eats, and he awakes, and he's still hungry. The point of, this is something I know by experience. At the conversion experience, there wasn't any bright light, there wasn't a figure of Jesus. There was light, but it was a light that emanated from everywhere without a source. There was a total and complete loss of consciousness of self and consciousness of anything else. And so when I came out of that, and then it took me a little bit to figure out, wait a minute, there's my friend was still sitting next to me. I saw chairs I was sitting in a room. And it's the same kind of thing. We may have a brief recognition or a brief kind of memory of what this life was about, but then you're swallowed up in the love of God, and that's your only consciousness. And so all of the, you know, the famous statement by Billy Graham on a Johnny Carson show. Johnny asked him what he thought heaven was like, and Billy Graham said, and he wasn't kidding, he said, I'm sure there'll be golf courses in heaven, because he loved golf so much. And it's like we make this mystery of the resurrection and the mystery of heaven and hell and all that, we make it into a comic book. And we retain our identities and our likes and our dislikes, and we retain our you know, it says that the body is raised, but it's not talking about your and my body, it's the body of the bride that's raised. Anyway, let's go back to where we were. Where were we? 1 Corinthians 15.
It's even worse than a comic book. It's like a shopping mall, where you can just go into any store you want and pick and choose.
Yeah. All right. Where did you stop?
I don't remember. I think it was 37. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. The glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Okay, again, think about our identity for a minute. If Adam, the first Adam, was made And he had a body and a soul. And then it says, but Jesus was the last Adam. And Adam here just means a member of the human race. If he was the last Adam, then who are we? There's only one. There's only two choices. You're either a part of the bride or a part of the whore. There's only the vessel of wrath and the vessel of mercy. There's nothing neutral. Does that communicate?
Yeah.
And all of the scriptures in the Bible that concern this mystery of God, His bride, and the goal being the marriage supper of the Lamb, all of that is about this bride. And the mystery of the wine is where the bride is most clearly seen. You start out, and we start out as individual grapes, and you get stomped on. But then if the grape retains its identity, then and spiritually it is a leprous grape. And it goes over here. But the each member of this mystery of the bride now has lost its identity by being mingled and part of the bride. And so the body that is raised from the dead is the bride of Christ. Now we are the body of Christ and members in particular. Amen?
Amen.
All right, continue.
Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly.
Okay. Remember Paul's statement. He said, many walk of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, for they mind earthly things. They give breath to the earthly things or the things in time and space. And this is why that we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God, hid with God in Christ, and there's a loss of identity. The same way in another analogy is the sperm cell enters the egg and the sperm cell loses its identity and alters the egg so that a new creation is formed. And just as so that we, as individual sperm cells, if you will, we enter the egg, the mother of us all, the egg of the New Jerusalem, and a new creation is formed. But as long as you continue on the pathway of self, and your mind and your concerns are about you, then you are leprous. You are part of the whore and not the bride. A little bit. This is why self-realization is the only sin. There are a jillion trespasses, but self becoming something, self getting better or self getting worse or self anything, is the essence of sin. All right. And again, you can never improve. And that's why I love it when I went to these all these churches before I was a believer that in a whole lot of especially the charismatic churches, part of the service was giving your testimony, and they'd bring, they'd bring all of their Clydes up about, all of it. I was a whoremonger and I was a drunkard and I used drugs and then God came and now I'm better. No. Anyway, we can continue.
As we have borne the image of the earthly, so we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality.
Immortality.
So when the corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, now that scripture about thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, it's the victory over corruption. It's the victory over the Adamic race. It's the victory over... It's not the victory, i.e., you know, I was poor and with God's help I became rich, or I was, you know, it's not, it's a victory that has no boundaries. It's as big as big. You understand? So when you hear people, they pray for something or something's troubling them, and then they say, and praise God, God has given us the victory. Well, if your victory is over some small thing, and no matter how big it is, it's small in relationship to the mystery of God, then you've localized your God and made God's plan dependent on your understanding of it. So we see now that, again, this corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Death must be, and it already has been, swallowed up in victory. Now, the whole idea of the law, and if you really think about it, what he said here, the strength of sin is the law. Do you understand what that means? If I look at this law with my eyes and myself, it only shows me such an incredible sinner I am. I can't even meet my own standards, much less the standards of the law, which are spiritual. And so again, it's the purpose of the law is, with if you have the slightest bit of integrity, is to know and to see that it will shut up every voice, and you will become guilty before God. That's the only time the process can start. Again, you understand? Okay, well, let's look at one more. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Can you imagine if there's a book in the Bible called? Let's go to 2 Jeff.
Wait, seriously though, the book of Only?
But this is Peter. Well, that's
but again, we got the book of John. We got John and Pete. Aren't they special?
What verse are we?
In fact, John is so special. He's got a big John.
Carried away.
And then three little Johns.
You've got to slow down. Why?
Wouldn't you think it's strange if there was a book named Keala?
No, well, I wouldn't read it.
2 Peter, chapter 3. Verse 10. I'm going to try to read this because I probably know it without reading it. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now again, conversation is a word, means how you conduct your life. Godliness is a word that means how you think. So this is, how do you think? What's thinking? That what goes on in your thought process is what defines you before God. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Everything in the universe has to pass through that dot that's smaller than our eye can see. And it's and that the pressure of that, and it's happening at the speed of thought. It can happen at any moment. And this is why we don't give breath or we don't mind earthly things. All right. Looking for and hasting on to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heaven and a new earth or new land wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, this is the only way this can happen. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. But we must conduct each day as if this day were the judgment day. That this end would come, boom. That's what our thought process shall be consumed with. Anyway, so we've covered the spectrum of end of days here and what the Bible says about it. Anybody have any response or any additions?
Eschatology.
Eschatology.
Got it. Finally. It's just simple. Very simple. Like the chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that whole section of the Mormon religion is where they base, you know, when you die, you get to make your own world. And they, and that was the first time that I actually saw what it's really about, what that chapter's about. It has nothing to do with chemistry.
Has nothing to do with stakes. Where was your stake?
In the Mormon Church.
Remember what, you know what the stake is?
No.
Mormons teach that you'll be given a country.
Oh, that's stake. My stake was in Las Vegas, Green Valley, and what's-her-face, Gladys Knight, was in my stake. Guess she found Jesus over there, too. But I fought my whole life because it didn't make sense to me. And all I was told was, stop asking questions.
Yeah, I was kicked out of catechism class when I was 6 or 7 years old because priest or whatever he was. Catechism. Lutheran Church had catechism. So, the Lutheran Church is almost, it's more like Catholics than Catholics.
No, that's
but I was an evil child because I asked too many questions and disrupted the catechism. You know what catechism means?
Not really.
John?
Sit down and be quiet.
Seriously?
No, but that's what it essentially it means.
Sit down and be quiet.
Anyway, anybody else?
I'm awake now.
Finally.
Can you do that again?
All right. Give us the report on Cheryl.
Oh, yeah. So Cheryl's home, and it took him a while to switch out her pick line, which was infected. And she had a urinary tract infection, which is now taken care of. And they thought that she had blood clots, which is also now incorrect. She's fine. And she has a surgery to remove her last remaining ovary, I think it is, on June 25th. And it's the one that her doctors have told her quite possibly may kill her. So
keep her in your prayers.
Yes, please. Please keep her in your prayers.
What about Robert?
Robert will be here Thursday. He should be here tomorrow. But she said that there's too many sandstorms right now in Iraq. So the delay of getting people out who have to go in and out is 2 days right now at this point. But I don't know. She's talked to him since last night, but we left because it was 11 o'clock. But he should be here this weekend. Hopefully he should be here this weekend. We'll see him. But yeah, keep her in your prayers.
Mark Cavill called this morning, and today is Samuel's birthday. He's 11.
Oh, really?
And now all the kids want to come. So he has a lawsuit against a big distributor in Spain, and so on. Nothing can happen until that's resolved.
Yes.
But they plan to buy a house here, move to Texas. Anyhow, that's it.
Yeah, tell them to come over here right now and then pray about it.
Yeah, they all say they like the hot weather. We'll see.
That's bullshit.
All right, take a big gun. Can I?